Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Grace and peace to you this day. My name is Jane Martinez, and I'm an at-large member of the Presbytery of Des Moines. I thank you for this opportunity to virtually fill your pulpit or to fill your virtual pulpit. I'm not quite sure how you explain it, but there are a lot of things in the pandemic that we're not quite sure what to call or how to explain, but I'm glad for the opportunity to be with you from a distance and to worship God together. Reverend Nathan told me that a lot of times he has a show and tell before he reads the scriptures. And I said, that sounds good to me. So I brought something and I'm going to show it to you, tell you a little bit about it, and we'll go from there. This is a picture of part of my family. The tall fellow in the back is my grandfather. His name was Newt, and he was born in 1892 near Marshalltown. The two seated adults are his parents, so my great-grandparents, Ole and Sina. They came from Norway in 1891. Now, what does that have to do with Reformation Sunday? Well, I was thinking about change and about how people and groups and things might be reformed, might be changed, and why. This is in the Protestant Church, at least some parts of it, a day that we remember people through whom great change came to the church and thereby to the world. Among these people are Jan Hus and Martin Luther, John Calvin, Huldrych Zwingli, William Farrell, John Knox. There's much to learn from these people and their deeds and their writings. But reform is not something for the past only. And it is not, as that list might unfortunately seem to indicate, not just for men from Europe. God brings about change through many people. Now, Ole and Sina and their family were not famous. They didn't make the history books. There are no movies about them. But there was reform in their lives. Some of it by their choice, some of it brought about by circumstances. They couldn't stay exactly as they were. They couldn't even stay where they were. They didn't stop being Ole and Sina, but the Ole and Sina who left Norway were not fully the same by the time this picture was taken about 20 years later. They had physically moved many miles and across an ocean from a valley that had become too crowded to support those living there to the open space of the American Midwest. They had to learn to function in a different language. Their place in society had changed. They were not from one of the old established families of the area, but they were the new kids on the block. And speaking of family, they likely had to expand their definition of family. Not being in the midst of grandparents and cousins and uncles and aunts, they found that they were people who needed those not related by blood to take on supportive roles. And they, in turn, took on those roles for others. Their ideas of what their children's lives would be like no doubt were reformed by a Midwestern American milieu. Yet there was loss of language and loss of local tradition, but there was also opportunity, education, land. I very much doubt that they imagined or that they even could have imagined with much accuracy what the lives of their great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren are like. Things have changed. Their descendants have changed. Yes, there are still children being born and going to school, growing up and going to work and getting married. And then more children and more school, new houses. But today we have multiple cars, we have computers, we watch too much TV. And only Encina's family, when there's not a pandemic, travels the world with relative ease, certainly with more ease than they did in 1891. There are still farm folk in the family, but also soldiers and librarians and teachers and healthcare workers, and even a clergywoman named Martinez. The family doesn't look like it did 100 years ago. It has reformed and has been reformed. But it's still the family. Let us pray as we prepare to hear the scriptures for the day. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O God, will stand forever. By your Holy Spirit, speak through these scriptures and help us to truly listen. Amen. We begin with Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. In it are verses that reminded Martin Luther of the grace that God gives. There are verses that help to reform the way he thought about God and the relationship between God and human beings. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for the good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The gospel lesson for today comes from John, chapter 8, a chapter in which various folks are trying to figure out who Jesus is and what his words mean. In today's passage, he offers some clarity, but there is still much to think about, such as the meaning of the words truth and the meaning of the word free. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Hebrew Testament reading for today comes from the book of the prophet Joel. Change and upset are at hand. There is not strict agreement among commentators on when these words were written. But in a way, that is not the most important for this book. For transition, change, upset, those all seem to have been fairly common in the life of the people of Israel. Somewhat like our lives, our history. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice at the head of his army. How vast is his host! Numberless are those who obey his command. Truly the day of the Lord is great, terrible indeed. Who can endure it? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be burned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape. As the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. As has been mentioned before in this service, today is Reformation Sunday. So, happy Reformation Sunday. The greeting card companies haven't quite caught on to this particular event, but there are some pretty good Martin Luther memes out there on the internet. So take your choice. Usually when we talk about Reformation Sunday, we mean Reformation with a big R. We're talking about events largely in the 16th century in Europe. But I suggest that in addition to thinking about our history from that time when there were great, great changes in the way the church was and the way it did things, that we also talk about reform with a small r. Reform, from the Latin word meaning to change shape. So that as we are in the midst of more changes than we thought we could imagine, than we thought we could deal with, we're going to think about it, and we're going to think about changing shape. But also realize that changing shape doesn't mean throwing everything out and starting completely over. That's not what changing shape means. Think about silly putty or Play-Doh or any other toy like that. And think as it is stretched or squished or otherwise molded, it doesn't lose what it is. It looks different. It might act a little different. But it's still whatever it was to start with. And we in the church are part of an institution or a creation of God that looks very different than it did 2,000 years ago. But it's still the church. It's still a family of God. I realize that in the pandemic, almost nothing seems normal. But it may help to remember that the normal before the pandemic was the result of centuries of changing shape. And that sometimes changing shape allows things to continue. The putty or the Play-Doh or whatever it is that we're stretching and squishing and all those fun things that we do, maybe building things, that stays as something we can play with if we do reform it, if we change it a little bit. We don't throw it out, we change its form. Change its shape, and then it's still useful. Yeah. It doesn't dry up and crack. Yeah. So, perhaps think this day about some major changes in shape that have happened in the church. Maybe centuries ago, when we went to the local language for worship, to the local language for scripture, with the idea that people could read the scripture on their own. Perhaps it was when there were changes in the shape of who could be a clergy person. Yeah. We would say, well, we're used to that. We're certainly used to having church in English. We're certainly used to having clergy of a variety of colors, ages, national origins, genders. Yeah. We've changed shape enough to have all those things. And we're better for it. Or perhaps we could think about the things that we sing when we're allowed to sing together, although it's wonderful that you can sing along with your video, with your wonderful musicians. There was a time in the Presbyterian Church when many congregations sang nothing but the Psalms. That was enough. That was the great songbook. And it is. The book of Psalms is indeed a great songbook. But we know that there are many other wonderful hymns that are written that are not based on the Psalms. But did we throw out the Psalms? No, maybe we didn't sing them quite so much. But we know that we can still go back to them. We know that they do us good. They express wonderful emotions. They help us to pray. They help us to let us know that we're not alone in how we feel. So changing shape means we hang on to some of the old, but perhaps use it in a new way. Try something different. And that's okay. I personally am a great lover of tradition, but I know that it doesn't work in every instance. That I'm sitting in my library on the video. A year ago, I wouldn't have thought of doing that, but I am grateful for the opportunity to do it today. And it makes my mind stretch a little bit. But if we look around us and say, how do we deal with all that's going on? How are we being stretched? How is our shape being changed to understand what God is telling us in this time? Well, one thing we might do is look at the passage from Joel and see if it gives us any hints. Now, the last part of today's passage from Joel might have sounded familiar, but a little bit out of place. Usually, when it's read in worship, it's read on Pentecost, and it's read as a quote in Acts. But here we are. We've changed the shape of it a little bit, in that we moved the time of year. And the situation is a little different. But what does it tell us? It tells us that God is at work. The day of the Lord is coming. The Lord is already present with us. And that all are to be involved in the work that God is doing. God talks about the Spirit coming upon male and female, upon old and young, and those in the middle, those who are in the midst of a big life change. It calls the bridal couple out. Yeah. But there is work for all to do as things are changing, as things are being tried in new ways, as the shape is being changed. God is there and God is at work. So how do we know what God is doing? We listen for those through whom God is working. And again, those people are from a wide, wide variety of places and of stations, of occupations. But there they are, speaking of the Lord, talking of the changes that need to happen so that life can be better, so the church can be stronger, so the message of God's love and grace and peace can be spread to an ever wider group of people. For we live in a time, in a society, in a world where there is not nearly enough peace, not nearly enough love, not nearly enough grace. So how do we present that in a way that people can hear us? The first thing we do is listen. Listen to what God is telling us. Because God's truth, the truth that sets free, often comes from places where we don't expect it. Maybe it comes from an old psalm setting that we hear in a new way. Maybe it comes from some 21st century music or poetry. Perhaps it comes from something that seems quite ordinary, but we are able to see it in a different way. I suspect that before the pandemic, going to the grocery store was not a big event for a lot of people, or going to school for yet another day of classes. But things have changed. And so how we look at them has changed. We need to be open to being ready to learn from those ordinary things that we can now see in a different way. And perhaps, like Martin Luther, there are some scriptures that we read in a new way. When we look at things like, by grace you have been saved through faith. And then that this is not our work. Yeah. It is a gift of God. Do we hear that in a way that says God loves us so much that even when we're not sure what to do, when we make a lot of mistakes, we're still gifted with grace? Perhaps we've heard it that way for a long time, and perhaps not. But we can't be afraid to reshape the way we look at things that sound so familiar. Even something like the 23rd Psalm. Perhaps when we sing it, we hear it a little differently. When we hear Jesus telling his disciples and others that they will know the truth and the truth will set them free, the way we hear that is different because we live in a world where sometimes it's really hard to tell what the truth is. Or we know that there are those who don't care about the truth. What can we and what can the church do to shape itself differently? To make sure that it hangs on to its love of truth. To make sure that when it talks about freedom and being set free, that it talks about being free to do God's will, being free to do good things, right things, helpful things, gracious things. Maybe those around the church can't understand that or don't want to hear it. We dare not throw out our understandings of the purpose of freedom and of the gift of the grace of God. But how can we shape ourselves or shape the way we present our view of the world so that those outside can hear it, so that they will feel welcome, that they will know that the good news is for them? Are we ready for the Spirit to change our shape, to change the way that we see the world, or perhaps even the way that we see ourselves and what it is we are to do? The pandemic and all that has accompanied it has meant we've had to do church and be church in very different ways than what we're used to. So, are we ready to keep changing shape, to keep being reformed, to be unafraid, to listen closely when in Scripture God over and over and over says, do not fear, be not afraid? And we need that right now, because the world around us is afraid, very afraid. So how is God using the church to say, do not be afraid? What are we doing? Are we showing the love that Christ has given us? On this Reformation Sunday, we may not be tacking notices to the church door. We may not be translating the Bible into new languages. We may not be traveling to meet with some large council who questions how we do things. But we are still called to be active at being church and to remember whose we are, what that one wants us to do. So we remember from the Ephesians reading, the last verse, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And from the Joel passage, know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So the Spirit is active, is at work with all and through all and in all, so that we may have a way of life that shows the goodness of God, that does good things. So let us not be afraid of having to have a different shape, a different form for church, to say, instead, it is our way of life to do good things, because the God who is our Creator pours out Spirit on all. And we want the world around us to see that, to hear that, to experience that. So that not only are we and the church being reformed to be more in the likeness of God, that the whole world may be, because it sees that there is an alternative to so much of what is going on now. Let us be unafraid. Thanks be to God.
And now, a moment for mission.
As we prepare to dedicate our gifts this week, we share a moment for mission about a special campaign for Coins for Concern. The COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way Covenant has done things for the most of 2020. Because we are not gathering in person for worship, Covenant's collection of Coins for Concerns has been drastically reduced. To help make up the shortfall in Coins for Collection for 2020, Covenant is launching a campaign for coins during the next few weeks. The campaign will end on Sunday, November 15th. If you feel moved to help us raise money for the 2020 coins organizations listed below, send a check to the church and write Coins for Concern in the memo line. If you'd like to designate part or all of your donation to a specific charity, make note of that with your donation. Otherwise, the funds will be distributed evenly. See the Covenant Corner email for the specific organizations who will benefit. Thank you for your consideration and continued generosity.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.